What happens when we listen to the Lord is what I want to talk about this morning. You know, and it's kind of awesome because it talks about all throughout Scripture. We're going to look at a mess of Scripture verses today. And we're going to talk about, you know, when God speaks, what happens? You know, when we tend to listen to Him, when we start moving in His direction. How many of you know that you've all been called to do something? Anybody? One hand. Anybody in here know you're called to do something? There we go. I see hands waving now. That's right. Scripture tells us we've all been called. We've all got gifts. We all got ministries. We all got things that we're supposed to be doing. And that's a part of listening to what God is saying to us so that we can walk out the plans and the purposes that He has for us so we can have that life and have a life more abundant, walk in His blessings, His benefits, and walk in the glory and the victory. And the Scripture tells us that we reign as kings in life. It's quiet in this church this morning. All right. Anyhow, Romans chapter 11, verse 29. First one, Kelsey. In the New Living Translation is fine. You see, when God speaks to us, you know, when God's directing us, this here's something that takes place here. For God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. You see, when God speaks to us, He gives us information, He gives us direction, but also God shows us and He has gifts for us as well. And so when we listen to Him, we kind of find out on what we're capable of doing. And God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. When God calls you, He's not going to change His mind about you. You might try and change your mind about yourself, but He's not changing His mind about what He's called you to do. And this is something that I am far too familiar with, because when the Lord called me many years ago, I really didn't want to have much to do with it. And I remember, you know, that day very vividly when I was at a youth camp and I was about 13 years of age, you know, and I heard the Lord speak to me in such a way that it was just unbelievable. He told me that I was going to be in the ministry. And I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And I remember, it was like, you hear my voice? Well, that's what it was like inside my head, in my heart. I could hear Him. And it was like this, it wasn't like this, you know, crazy thing. It was just, it's like I could hear it, but no one else could, and it was only for me. And it was just nice, gentle, but yet firm sound on the inside. And I knew it was the Lord, even at that age. And this is when my life, you know, yeah, I grew up in an awesome Christian home, went to church, all those things. But man, I didn't want to be in the ministry. I don't want to be a pastor. Those guys are crazy. You know? And I know what people do to pastors. You know? They expect them to be here and be there and do all this. I don't want nothing to do with that. You know? Plus, you know, and of course, this is my teenage thinking. You don't make a lot of money doing that. You know? It's like, man, I want to have a job. I want to do something. You know, I'm the airplane pilot or be a captain of a boat or do something. You know, I want to do something with my life. I don't want to be a pastor, be in the ministry. But, you know, it's amazing that right there, if God just said, okay, well, He's not willing and moved on to the next one, you know, it would have been sad because I would have missed it on a whole lot of stuff. But see, God didn't move away from me because He stayed with me through all those years and through as I grew up in my teenage years and my early 20s, you know, stayed with me so that I would, you know, kind of do what He called me to do. It wasn't that He was forcing me, but He was guiding me and protecting me, and that still small voice was always on the inside of me, guys, telling me, you know what? Hey, listen, I got this plan. I got this purpose for you. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And little inklings and, you know, different, you know, downloads from heaven would come to me and, you know, kind of reveal different things, and I'd have some Holy Ghost moments, you know, when I was all sanctified, when I had my sanctified moments, and, you know, kind of get more and more to picture and stuff like that, and be like, yeah, okay, yeah, for like 3 days I'll be all excited. Yeah, I love Jesus, woohoo, and then that would wear off. You know? And it's like, no, I want to do something else. And so my life, you know, it was kind of flip-flopping back and forth on what I was going to do. And, you know, when you're running away from God, it's not a very comfortable place to be. You're going to find yourself in some really weird places. Anyone agree with me? When you're running away from God and trying to do your own thing, you're going to find yourself in some awkward spots. And you're going to find yourself in some situations, and you'll be like, how did I end up here? you know? It's kind of like on YouTube, you're trying to fall asleep, and then you find yourself in a really party YouTube, you know? And then you're watching, like, I don't know, some people in Malaysia somewhere building swimming pools underground. Like, how did I end up here, you know? It's like, wow. Well, it's the same thing in our life. But I'm thankful what it says here in Romans chapter 11, 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In the New Living, it says, for the God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. When God says something and he makes his mind upon it, he's not going to change his mind. So God had a plan for each and every one of us before we were even born, Scripture tells us. And so therefore, his mind is not going to change now because all of a sudden, you know, you don't want to follow and listen to him. He's still got that call on your life. And sometimes it takes a little longer for us to come around the mountain and figure out what we're supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes we've got to make a couple trips. But God's word, God's plan for you never changes. Can I get an amen? Now, you know, because of this, God has empowered us to serve. See, when we listen to the call of God and we're listening to what he said to us, you know, we're given the ability and the tools that we need to serve. Turn over your Bibles to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, I guess, yeah, in the New Living. For God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Next verse. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go back to verse 10 there, Kels. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. I've heard people say, well, I got no abilities. People's actually had this conversation with me, said, I can't do nothing. Well, that's not what Scripture says. God has given each of you, back to 10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. We've all been blessed with a spiritual gift of some sort. You all have something that you can do. I mean, that's exciting. Because sometimes we can get into a place where we feel down and defeated and really low about ourselves, like, I can't do nothing, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm trash. Well, that's nothing but a lie from the pit. Because let me tell you something, God has given you the abilities to do some awesome things, and you've been given gifts. Amen? Use them well to serve one another. Now, the gift was just not given to you for your own, you know, enjoyment, we'll say, but it was given to you to use for other people. To help one another, to build one another up, to come to the church and give of your supply. I mean, look around. It takes a lot of people to make Faith City Church run. Come on. We got different link team or connection groups. I'm going to call them link teams. I'm going back to my Rhema days. But we got different, you know, we got different connection groups here. We got different programs. We got the school. We got the television program, the church, the children's ministry, the youth program. The young adults, the singles. I mean, there's so many different things that go on here at this church. Can you imagine it was just Pastor Roma doing it all? Poor guy, you know? And I'm going to tell you what. This guy, in the beginning, him and his wife, they did it all. I mean, they carried it, man. In the beginning, they were it. But you see what happens when people come on board and get hooked up, you know? And they want to come and help. I mean, there were some great people showed up, you know. Pastor Ken showed up from the West. Myself and my wife showed up from the East. The wise men. You got two white guys chasing a brown guy now. You know. And he's telling them what to do. It's good, though. It's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Because God is awesome the way he knit this group together, you know? Side note, let me tell you something. This is kind of cool. The year 1987 is a big year around here, okay? I mean, that's the year that Pastor Miss Anita was born, 1987. Married, born. That was the wrong one. Married. Hold on. I got three things going through here right now. They're really young. Really young. They were married in 87. Pastor Ken was born again in 87. And the world was blessed with me in 1987. Amen? Mama's back there. Yeah, she'll never let me forget it either, that's for sure. What was it, something like 26 hours? Oh, 32 hours. I am the rest of my life. Sorry, Mama. You know, I just wasn't ready. Ask my wife. I'm always slow coming out, you know, getting ready. You know, I'm always slow. You know, but you see what happens? God's just got a sense of humor. We always thought that was kind of cool. I remember when we first discovered how 87 was our number. You know, I think that's pretty cool. And you know how God just brings people together. And the other coolest thing is that we've all graduated from Rhema together and didn't even know at different times. Like, we're all Rhema graduates. We didn't know that back in the day, you know? But this is the way the Lord operates. You see, the Lord has plans, guys. Now, if you start looking at everybody here, it's not by coincidence either that you're here. You are supposed to be here. God don't make mistakes, and it's not a coinkydink, all right? It's not a coincidence. God's got a plan. There's a method to the madness, all right? Sometimes we don't fully understand why. Sometimes we don't understand how, but we just got to have faith in Him, have faith in God's process, amen? Our measly brains are not meant to understand God's ways. You know, we just trust in Him. Watch, I'll call it the magic, but watch what happens, you know? Watch the magic happen. Being a Christian and walking in the things of the Lord, man, it's amazing. You know, watching the kids grow and watching, you know, grass grow. I can't do that. I can't make grass grow, you know? But the Lord designed it so that it would. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's just the way our God is. He's such a good Lord. Amen. Let's see here. So we've been empowered to serve, and it says there, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. So point to yourself and say, I got some gifts. And it's not even Christmas, you know? And use them well to serve one another. It doesn't say use them mediocre either. Use them well. You serve and you do what you can do to the best of your ability. Because you're not doing it on to man anyhow, you're doing it on to God. Amen? We serve the King of Kings. And that's who, you know, all this is for. Think about this for a second. When we come to church, you know, this part of the service, the speaking, the teaching, the preaching, that's for the congregation, right? That's God speaking to the people. But the praise and worship side of things, that's the people talking to God, worshiping Him. You see, two of those parts of the service, that makes it complete. And it's very important for us to interact with the praise and worship side. Because, see, God has given direction and talks to us. But it's a two-way street. God's going to give us direction and tell us different things through whoever's speaking and in the Word of God. But when we worship unto Him, we're opening up the floodgates so that we can receive from Him. Come on, because we're magnifying Him, we're worshiping Him, we're thanking Him, we're praising Him, come on, for who He is. So when we come and have a praise and worship service, you know, we shouldn't just show up late because, oh, it's only the singing part. You should be here with bells on, ready to rock and roll, and then as soon as the music starts, you got your hands up towards heaven and with heart abandon, and you're singing praises to the top of your lungs. Scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Come on, right? And that's all part about this communication, this open communication with the Father. We have a part to play, ladies and gentlemen. We just don't come in and, oh, yeah, that's a good tune. You know? Yeah. You know, we got to get involved, baby. This is not a spectator sport. This is something that we give on to God. We minister on to the Lord because He's so good. Well, I don't feel like worshiping. We'll worship Him anyway. We don't go by how we feel now, do we? We're faith people around here. I'm sure not every morning you wake out of bed and you want to jump up and be like, woohoo! But you do it anyhow. You know? I mean, come on. Not every day do you want to be all happy and stuff, but you put it on anyhow. So come on, when you come to church, come on, we're excited to worship Jesus. Amen? We get to worship Him. We get to have some praise and worship time because you never know what He's going to give you in return, what He's going to minister unto you because you've opened up the opportunity. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all free. There you go. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Is this okay this morning, ladies and gentlemen? Here we go. You got it there, Kels? Here we go. Now, you see, we've been given the power, and a lot of times, you know, we just think the Holy Spirit is kind of like a message delivery system. Well, He's much more than that, you know? He's more than a postie, okay? Like Miss Cindy, you know? Yes, He delivers messages, but here's what else He does. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it's not looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. You see, the Holy Spirit has come down. And now those of us that's accepted Him and got Him alive on the inside of us, come on now, we've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit, yes, He delivers messages, but we have power as well because the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us. Come on now. And that's a part of what we're supposed to be doing and working for the Lord because, first of all, yeah, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to tell us He lives on the inside of us. He's, you know, He's kind of our lead, our guide, you know, showing us these different things, you know. But yet, because of He's on the inside of us, we have some great power. Scripture tells us the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So that same hell-busting, devil-stomping, grave-overcoming power is on the inside of you. You're not hearing me this morning. Let me tell you, that same power that when Jesus died, went to hell, slapped Satan around, messed up hell, came back to earth, walked around, freaked everybody out. They said they seen more of the old prophets and stuff walking around the earth. There was power absolutely everywhere. I mean, God was doing some awesome stuff. The veil was torn. God was let loose in all the earth. That same power that raised Christ from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, is on you. It's in you. It flows through you. You have access to that power. You get to use that power because of Jesus. Amen? And because the Father sent down the Holy Spirit when Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit was with us, our advocate as well. He's there. He's our guide. Come on. That Holy Ghost power is right there. You got it. Woo! Get pumped up. That's awesome. I like it. The Holy Spirit is something it's absolutely phenomenal. When we get in tune with Him and we start digging on the inside for some answers instead of looking at the stuff around us for answers, it changes our full outlook and our whole perspective on things. Because let me tell you something. You can look to the world, you can look to Facebook and to friends and stuff about some direction of what you know. What do you think if I should do this? I should become a vet. What do you think? Should I be a vet? Or should, you know, or should I become a hairdresser? What should I do? You know, think about it, you know. Oh, you know, should I be an artist? You know, or just, you know, what should I do? And you got your different friends and they got their opinions. But in the meantime, the Lord has called you to go do something specific and you're trying to do whatever you possibly can to go hide. I'm going to become a submariner. You know, I'm going to go to the bottom of the ocean. No. You do what God's called you to do. Now, if He's called you to be in the Navy, well, you go be in the Navy if that's what He's called you to do. You know? If He's called you to go be an artist, you go be an artist for Him. You do what you need to do. You know? But just don't randomly pick something and be like, I think I'm going to do this. Because you're going to get yourself in trouble when you're not following the Lord's leading. Trust me, I know far too well about that. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." You see, when the Holy Spirit is active in us, okay, he come down, Jesus left, and Jesus told the disciples these words, and to go, because the Holy Spirit now is giving them what they needed. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of them to give them the power and the ability to go into all the world. First Jerusalem, then Samaria, into their whole world. See, same thing with you, is that you get to go into your world, your Jerusalem, your family, your neighborhood, your Samaria, you know, a little bigger circle, you know, your community, your province, into the whole world. Well, that's the whole world. You know what I'm saying? It's like, guys, we all have a responsibility. You can all impact people. We all have things that we need to be doing. But it all stems to this basic fact that we need to be listening to when God is speaking. Because we don't want to miss out on an opportunity to do what God has called us to do. Because when you're being led by him, he might tell you to speak to somebody that's going through a rough time. You know, that next person might be the next Billy Graham. You don't know. And a one word that you say to them might change their outlook, might change something in their life. I mean, it's very pivotal for us to be obedient. You know, I've said this once, I'll say it 1,000 times. So what if Pastor Roma wasn't obedient? You know, what if him and his wife decided, no, we're not going to continue on in the ministry. We're going to get out and become car salesmen. You know, go work at a Honda dealership, his favorite car, you know. What if none of this would be here the same way that it is? I'm sure the Lord would find a way to do something a little different, but this wouldn't be this, you know. It wouldn't be this. And this is what God has planned, is this. Like I said earlier, this is not a mistake. This is not an accident. This was ordained before the time began, you know, that we're supposed to be here. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever God calls you to do, he's going to anoint you to do it. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, and both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth." Well, Pastor Steve, I don't feel like I have the ability to do it. Listen, if God calls you, God's going to give you exactly what you need to do it. God's going to not leave you high and dry and be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to send you, you know, out here to China, and then that's it. You got to go to China, and then you figure it out on your own. Well, no. He's going to send you to China, and he's going to work out ways for you to get there and for you to minister in there and do what you're supposed to be doing properly, you know? If the Lord's called you to children's ministry, is not going to be like, oh man, you know, I don't know nothing about kids. Well, you know what? He's going to bless you. He's going to give you the grace to be able to work with that. Our God is like one of those guys that don't want to leave you hanging. You know? We all got some good friends, some good bros that got our back. Well, God's got our back and our front and our top and our bottom. All right? God's got us all. And he's not going to leave you hanging. And he's going to give you the grace to do what you've been called to do, ladies and gentlemen. And just not barely get by, but I mean just be successful and be fruitful and be very successful on what area he's called you to. Oh, I don't know, little old me, I don't know. Well, stop thinking about little old me, because greater is he that is in you. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. Come on, you've been blessed. You got the ability. Scripture already said you've been blessed with every spirit, with a spiritual gift. You have those giftings on the inside. We got to learn to crack it open and use it, baby. You know, think about, we're a Boston cream donut. The guy got to talk about Boston all the time, eh? Anyway, Boston cream donut. They look good, you know, chocolate on the top and, you know, nice pastry. But in the inside, you got that creamy deliciousness, you know? You know, it's good on the outside, it looks good, but when you bust that sucker open, you get into there, you know there's something extra. I mean, you bite it and say, oh, Lord. Like, I just, Boston cream donut is my favorite donut that was ever created in the history of donuts. Okay? And when I bite that thing, it hits the soul. You know? And you get in that, I want a Boston cream donut when I leave here, Kendra. We're going to Tim Hortons, and they better have a Boston cream donut. You know, and it's no good to go get one of those knockoffs called the Bismarck. It just doesn't cut it. You all know what I'm talking about. You got to have the OG at Timmy's. But when you crack that sucker open, you see all that goodness. There's more to it. There's better on the inside. Come on now. There's better on the inside. And that's like us, because we got the Holy Spirit on the inside. We got that power. We're better on the inside. But when we crack that open and we get it all over, so good. So good. I'm going to have donut. I can't wait. I'm done now. I'm going for... Do we have dainties today or something? Like, what's going on here? Anyway. Dainty donuts. Praise God. Well, when we get that flowing, get access into the inside, we open it up, and we get the good Boston cream filling. It is so delicious. You know, it proves once again that, you know, that's the way we are. That's the way the Holy Spirit operates. Yeah, he's on the inside of us. Once again, we have to do something. We have to activate it. He's always right there, ready to lead us, ready to guide us. We just got to ask for him to, hey, come on, let's do this. What am I supposed to do next? And he will lead you, and there's going to be times when you're actually not expecting it, and he's going to keep you out of harm's way, you know? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 17, in the New Living Translation, it says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is that the body of Christ, some of us are Jews, and some are Gentiles, and some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we shall share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it less a part of the body? And if the whole body was an eye, how would it hear? Or your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? You'd be in an awful state, you know, walking around with one big eyeball, like that guy off of Monsters, Inc. You know what I'm talking about? You know, geez, you'd be, you know, you'd be crazy. But you see, guys, let's go back, first verse. And if ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye. Listen. You've been placed where you've been placed. Doesn't make you any less, any more. You know, you've been put in a position that you're supposed to be in. We just have to find out what position that is, and that comes from hearing from the Lord and talking to him and communicating with him and getting to know him, you know. And you think about the different gifts and abilities that you have, because this room is full of them. This room is so full of so much talent, it's actually crazy. Because I look around this room, and I know people can sing. I know people can play an instrument. I know people can speak. I know people can, you know, encourage, and people can build up, people can host, people can love, people can do all these different things, you know? And you look at all the talents, and people can build, and, you know, all the different, you know, abilities that's in this room. Guys, don't ever say, well, you know, I only vacuum the floor, or I only do it. Doesn't matter. That's an awesome job. That's not any less than a preacher up here in the pulpit, you know? I'm going to be honest with you. When I was at Rhema, I was more than content to be an usher the rest of my life at Rhema. I told my wife that. I'm like, you know what? I can stay here forever and just be an usher. I have no problem opening doors for people, seating people. That's, man, I was content doing that. I was cool with doing that. That's what I wanted to be. And for that time of my season, or that season in my life, that's what I was supposed to be doing. It was teaching me humility, and it was teaching me how to serve. I mean, you want to learn how to serve people, you go be an usher. You want to learn how to put up with crazy stuff? You go be an usher. I mean, patience. Oh, boy. You're going to learn all types of fun stuff, you know? And you're going to have all types of different scenarios. You learn how to walk in love, but yet how to still be firm at the same time, you know? And that area, that season of my life, it was a growing time. And I was more than content to stay there. But the Lord had other plans. That was only a stepping stone or whatever in the path that he has laid out before me. But I learned so much there. And the thing is that, you know, the Lord has plans. And sometimes, you know, there's different steps to the plan. You might not necessarily reach where you're supposed to be right away exactly on time, because you might have to learn a little bit about certain things. You might have to do some certain things for a little while. You got to put in some preparation time. That's why it's important about the Faith Life Bible College that we got around here. Because not everybody should be up in the pulpit right away. Are you listening to me? Not everybody. People need to learn. People need to get, you know, a foundation built. Some people need to get stability, you know? And so Faith Life Bible College, we got the 3-year programs. I mean, it is life-changing. First year, you're dangerous, okay? You learn enough, man, you're dangerous. Second year, yeah, you're getting a little more there, but you're still dangerous. Third year, yeah, you're the most dangerous of them all. All right? Because you've been taught a lot. You're wild now, you know? After graduation, I told all the students, I said, now is the time for the learning to begin, you know? Now it's time to practice. It's time to go to work because this is where you're actually going to learn stuff. I learned more out of Bible college than I did in Bible college. I'm thankful for my experience because I got a foundation. I learned what to grow on. And then everything that I've learned up after that, I mean, it's been life-changing, monumental. But you got to put in the preparation time. You got to study. You got to, you know, do the work. Come and help out. Get involved. Do something. Because it's no good just to sit in church on your duff all day long, you know. We're going to start charging rent. You know? No. We come to church because it's a community. It's a family. We all do stuff together. We all work together. And you know what? This church, we are blessed with an awesome helps team. I mean, we have some awesome people around here that does a lot of work. I'm going to tell you. You know? And you just look around. You know, when we do Leadership Essentials, it's pretty cool to see who shows up. You know? We get a huge amount of people show up and is willing to work and do what needs to be done. And whenever there's anything special going on, when we do cleanup days around the church, you know, people show up. When there's special events and stuff like that, people sign up to help out. You know, on a Sunday morning, you know, it's awesome to see the camera operators, the ushers, the greeters, the hospitality team, you know, the tech people, the music people. It takes a lot of people. Why? Because you know what? We got people that are here that are willing to work. We got people that are putting the preparation in. God don't see that and be like, oh, okay, that's nice. Yeah, you've reached it. No, God sees that. And God knows your heart. And God is blessing you, and you don't even realize it on times. Come on. You're making a deposit in your heavenly bank account, you know? Lord, the day is coming when there's going to be a big withdrawal in your favor, baby. I'm going to tell you that right now. Some of you guys, and I've had this conversation, it's like, Pastor Steve, I'm doing all this stuff, and I don't know, man, what it's all for. Listen, you're doing it unto the Lord. He does not miss that. He's not forgot about you. Come on now. The blessings, you know, that he has for you, the plans that he has for you, and the way that you're blessing other people, it's all accounted for. He's got each and every one of us that are serving. He knows what's happening. He sees you. He knows your heart. So you put on a smile and you keep working. You do what you need to do. Amen? Man, the Lord is good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And like this passage of Scripture talks about here in 1 Corinthians, you know, where the whole body, the human body, is made up of different parts in order for it to work. Well, it's the same thing with the body of Christ. You know, we all got to work together to make the body of Christ do what it needs to do. And you can't say, well, I'm just a pinky. I don't serve no purpose. Trust me, you serve a purpose. Last night, some crazy bug bit me on my hand. And my ring finger. I didn't really realize how important my ring finger was, you know, until this morning when I woke up and I couldn't move it because it was hurting. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, it's a very important part, you know? It carries my ring. It shows that I'm married to my wife, you know? But, you know, you need your hands. I need my hands to play drums and to play music and to do different things, to do my hair, to, you know, brush my teeth, to do whatever. I need my fingers. Amen? All of them. I can move it now, praise Jesus. The Lord's doing something. But, you know, that dirty bug right from the pit of hell that bit me, whatever it was, you know, it incapacitated my hand for a little bit. It hurt, you know. But it's an important part. I need my finger. If you know Mark Davey, he's missing a finger. He's got one gone. He's only got 3 fingers and a thumb. But it's important that we have these. You might say, oh, you know, I'm a pinky. I don't do a whole lot. A pinky toe. You need your pinky toe. Helps out with your balance. Plus, you look funny wearing sandals. You know what I'm saying? You might be an eyeball in the body of Christ. You know? Well, I don't want to be an eyeball. Well, too bad. You're an eyeball. There's lots of eyeballs around. Always watching. You know? Ears are a good one because everyone's listening. You know? You might be an ear. Well, that's good. We need listeners. You know? Guys, what I'm saying is that we all have a vital part to play. Don't think any less of yourself because, you know, you're doing something that you think that is not that great. Let me tell you something. You're doing something awesome. You're doing something fantastic. You, if you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you're serving God, come on now, you're doing something great. In Ephesians chapter 4, 16, it says, every joint supplies. Not some joints, every joint supplies. Okay? Everybody, everything works together. Everyone has something to do. Not everybody has the same abilities, but everybody has abilities. And so when everyone comes together to do something, you make this big machine work. Amen? So, you know, what if everyone just preached? We'd never get out of here. What if everyone, you know, played piano? What if everyone just played drums? We'd all have headaches, you know? What if everybody just played with children, you know? What if everyone was, if everybody had the same gift, it'd be kind of sad because there's no variety. And then the whole complete task is not getting completed properly, right? But everybody has different gifts, different abilities, and we need to be active in using those. Amen? Every joint supplies. From whom the whole body fitly jointed together and compacted by which every joint supplied according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So in love. So we're serving not because we got bad attitudes or someone told us. We're doing it because we love to. And we love others. How many lovey-doveys do we have in here? Anybody like serving in love? Come on, anyone serve in love? Absolutely. When you get to serve in love, it changes your outlook. God sets you where He wants you to be as well. Because we're going to be, you know, such good members of the body, and because we're doing it in love, you know, it doesn't matter where God puts us. God sets you where He wants. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says now, chapter 12, verse 27, 28. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and then miracles and the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, not everybody has all these gifts. Not everybody is this. But you can see, you know, in the church, you know, God has appointed people for certain jobs. God has different people called to different areas. Are you listening to me? So everybody has a calling from God to be positioned in the church. And this is just showing, you know, where God calls people. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, and those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, and those who have the gift of leadership. You know, it's exciting to see that God places us where He wants us to be. Once again, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, then, let me ask you this question. Why are there some people in life that are very unhappy? Well, I got a very simple question because they're not where, or answer, they're not where they're supposed to be. I've talked to people and they absolutely hate their jobs. And you know, there might have been time in your life when you despised what you were doing. I remember I had a few jobs and have done a few things that I dearly despised. Anyone can relate with me that they done stuff they just did not like? Anybody? Yeah. You know, and sometimes it's for a season, but sometimes it's through our own disobedience and running away from God, and we get ourselves in a place that we should not be, and we feel like we're stuck there, but we need to get out of there because we need to walk in where God designed, where God has designed for us to be. But once again, when we're not listening to God and we got our ears closed, you know, we're not going to His Word and we're just not really paying attention to what He's saying, and we shut Him down. You know, we're not getting the clear direction and the clear instruction on what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. Well, then, you know what? When we do things on our own merit and our own ideas and our own plans and our own purposes, you know, we're going to find ourselves in positions that are less than great. We're going to find ourselves in positions that is not necessarily where we're supposed to be. And sometimes you're going to find yourself clear out of the plan of God because of our disobedience. And when you step out from the perfect plan of God for on our lives and the place that He has for us, we're opening up ourselves to a world of earth. Because think about it this way. Think of God as a big umbrella. And He's right there. You know, we stand under the umbrella where God wants us to be. We're safe. It might be storming around us, but we're not getting wet. We're not, you know, getting full of whatever's going on. But for whatever reason, be like, oh, I'm going to walk out here, and we step away from God's umbrella. I'm like, why am I getting wet? Because you stepped out from under the umbrella. Okay? That's why you're getting wet. So we're wondering why things are falling apart around us. You know? Oh, the Lord wants me to stay here. This is where he wants me to be. You know? But over here, I want to come. No, but that's not where you're supposed to be. Does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen? See, following God is vitally important. But it comes down to us listening. He's been trying to get some people's attention for a long time. It takes some people, you know, quite a while sometimes to smarten up. Took me a little while, you know. Some other people, you might be a little bit older trying to figure things. But you know what? Like I said, our very first scripture verse, you know, God never changes his mind about his calling on you. So it's never too late to stop and go towards God. Stop what you're doing, stop your own plans, and do what he's called you to do. It's never too late to start doing that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork and workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand. For us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God has predestined and prearranged stuff for us. So, it's going to take a lot less stress, heartache, all those things, heartbreak, if we choose to just, okay, Lord, let's do it your way, instead of, no, Lord, I'm doing it my way. Because when you do it your way, you're 9 chances out of 10, 10 chances out of 10, 12 chances out of 10, it's not going to work out, okay? You know, it's just not going to be the greatest at all. But when you do it God's way, yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to be perfect. But what I'm saying is that God's going to be with you to get you through the obstacles. I'm saying God is going to lead you through that path. That God is going to show you what you're supposed to be doing and how to navigate through that life. All you have to do is listen. Everyone say listen. Amen. Called, being called and doing what God has called us to do, you know, is very important. And like I said before, you will be given a grace to serve. You will be given that grace to do. God will qualify you for the call. We can do whatever we can to try and qualify ourselves, but it's God who qualifies you for that call. We can try and figure it out on our own, but we don't do it. For instance, our dear buddy Paul in Galatians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. In Galatians 1:1 there, Paul is stating that it wasn't by man or even myself who qualified me or who called me, but it was God who called me before I was even born. There was nothing extra special that I did to make myself to be in the position I am today. It was God had the plan for this. Man, it just takes a lot of stress out of life when you think about it that way. To be worrying about what, you know, what's next or what. Let God do it, man. Just go for the ride. Let God take control. And we don't need to be in fear about this either. When God speaks to us, when he calls us to do something. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 in the King James Version, and it says, "And who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We don't have to be afraid of this. Why? Because God's already got it planned out. This is something that's perfect. God is full. When God is speaking to us, it's peace and joy, love and life. When God speaks to us, that's how it is. Everything else is just noise. If it doesn't, whatever you're hearing, if it doesn't check off those boxes, you know, ignore it. Because we need to make sure when God is speaking to us, it's that peace, that joy, that love, and that life. Because that's how he speaks to us. It's through those things. And in that manner, in that way. You know? If something's screaming at you, you know? Run away. You know? That's something not right. Like I said on Wednesday night, it's either one of two things. It's either the devil or your children screaming at you. You know? I got four kids. There's lots of screaming. God has anointed us to do the job even before we were born. And like I said, or like we talked about, you know, those different scripture verses we already looked at, but have many parts. You know, look at Romans chapter 12 again. Did we already look at that one? Maybe not. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have the same, have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to our proportion of faith. God has anointed you to do what you're supposed to be doing. He's given you the job, but we need to make sure that we are listening to him, we're into his word, we have an understanding of what he's saying to us. Amen? Well, and we can go through a whole bunch of different other scriptures as well and look at different situations where God called out different prophets, different men, different women, you know, to disclose their calling, what they're called to do. But I think my favorite instances in the New Testament is when Saul was turned into Paul. Because here is Saul, and he was definitely, you know, he thought he was doing the Lord's work. He thought that he was actually doing something right, you know, but he had a very strong religious mindset. And he was actually persecuting Christians. And on that road to Damascus that day, he had a life-altering experience when Jesus showed up to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" You see, when you come against Jesus or when you come against the church, you come against the whole body. You know, and this is another side note, a message for another day, but you know, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all connected up together. So we need to bear one another up. But Jesus appeared to Paul, and it's like, why? And then Paul had Saul at this time, had a major transformation that took place. Because he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, but instead, he was making a mess of things, and he hurt a lot of people, and he caused a lot of, you know, heartache and trials for people, and, you know, people died because of him. But then that day when things got changed around, when he seen Jesus, you know, his life was radically changed. And after he went and visited his buddy there in Damascus, and he seen Ananias, and, you know, he was blinded for a little bit, and then after that he was baptized and all those fun things that took place, you know, he took off when preaching right away. He done some express Bible college or something in those couple days. He had an instant download from the Holy Spirit or something, you know. Because he had a crazy life change. And instead of preaching death and trying to arrest Christians and get Christians in trouble and all those things, you know, they even said, the people that were hearing him after he was preaching and that stuff, wasn't this the guy that was just trying to kill us? You know? And now he's like in the synagogues, wherever, preaching Jesus. You know? Radical change. Here's what happens. You see, you might be on that wrong road. You might think what you're doing is right, but it's not necessarily where you're supposed to be. But when you get Jesus on the inside, you get shaken up a little bit, and you have that life-altering moment, come on now. Look, Paul changed the face of Christianity. You read the New Testament, Paul is everywhere. He wrote most of it. What a guy. He was a horrible sailor, though. Shipwrecked how many times? I'm pretty sure he had some sort of prison points because he spent a lot of nights there in prison. You know? Spend 100 nights, get 100 free or whatever he had. I don't know. But I mean, he had an express pass into prison. But now he was, you know, expressly removed as well from prison a couple times as well, you know? But I mean, you look at this guy. He was shipwrecked and he survived. He was imprisoned and he was let go. And imprisoned and then he let go. And I mean, all these different scenarios. And then it came to the point to where his prison, you know, yeah, it wasn't necessarily nice, but he wasn't treated like the rest of the prisoners either. He always had benefits wherever he went. He always had, you know, the Lord working on his side wherever he went. And the Lord used him mightily to do some crazy things. Because you know what? He stopped and listened. He paid attention. He kind of didn't have much of a choice when the Lord shows up and like, what are you doing? You know? But sometimes that's what we need. So count this as your Damascus experience right now. What are you doing? You know? What's the Lord saying to you? What's the Lord directing you to do? What's the Lord calling you to do? What should you be doing right now? That's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. You know? Am I following the plan that God has for me? Am I walking that line that he has set for me? Am I listening to his voice? Am I listening to his word? You know? What's happening right now? Do I know what's going on? Or am I just kind of winging it? You know? Am I just trying to, you know, make it on a whim? Paul, he changed. And he was well, like he wasn't a super young guy when this took place. He was well established. But then his life started over. And he traveled all around the known world, basically, you know, spreading the gospel. And then he became a very monumental person. He spoke into many other guys. He influenced so much. He done some great things, you know? And he's still impacting millions of lives today because we read about him and what he done in the Word of God, you know? Let me ask you this. Are you willing to listen? Music team, you can come back. Are you willing to pay attention? Are you willing to do what God has called you to do? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? You're a vital part of the kingdom of God. I mean vital, very important. You're not a mistake, you're not an accident, you're not a whoops. You are vital, pivotal, ladies and gentlemen. God wants your attention. God needs you to do what he's called you to do. Because yes, the Lord is very important. You know what? As much as we need Jesus, Jesus needs us just as much also. We're his hands and feet here on the earth. If we don't go into the world and do what he's called to do, who's going to do it? If we're not obedient to his call, how is the work going to get done? There's lives hanging in the balance because of us. Like I said, God's never changed his mind about you. I've been running away from him for a while. Well, that's okay. Because today is a great day to get back on track and start following him, running after him. Amen? Come on, stand on your feet. I mean, serving the Lord is, it's interesting. It's fun. It's exciting. I look at the different places that I've gone and the different people I've met and the conversations I've had and the experience I've had, you know, walking with God. It's amazing. Some of the people that you come into contact with and the opportunities that you have. I wouldn't change it for the world because I know I'm walking where God wants me to walk. And sometimes it's not, you know, I tend to stray sometimes, you know, short attention span maybe, squirrel, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, when we get back on track and we tend to stay following, walk the line, you know, following behind God. It's amazing. You'll see lives change, formed. Not only yours, but other people around you. You'll come in contact with people that you never ever thought that you would talk to. You'll have impact on lives that you never ever thought that you'd impact. And there's going to be times when, you know, you're not even going to realize that it's happening to you. That people are being impacted by who you are. Just might be the way that you smile or the way you open the door, the way that you greet someone coming into the doors at the church. You know, something simple like that, ladies and gentlemen. When you get to heaven, when we get over there and someone taps you on the shoulder and be like, hey, I'm here because of you. You might have never met that person before. But then they'll tell you the story, you know. Hey, maybe you gave or you helped Pastor Roma produce Spirit Alive. And, you know, I prayed that prayer after the episode one day and I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm here because of your obedience. I was a little kid that was in the children's program and, you know, our family moved away, but I still remembered what you taught me. Or, hey, you know, you were up on the worship team one day when I come visited your church and, you know, you just blessed me so much when you guys were singing and playing. It's exciting. But guys, make sure we're listening. Make sure that we're allowing the Lord to speak to us. Get into His Word. See what He has to say. Be willing to work. Because after He speaks, we need to do. When He speaks, we move. When He gives direction, we move. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. No one looking around. If you're in this place, you're like, Pastor Steve, I need to get back on track with God right now. I need to make sure that I'm connected with Him. I need to make sure that I'm following Him, that I'm following His call. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to make sure that I'm not going to miss out. I always thought that I was low and trash and garbage, but you know what? God loves me. He has a plan and a purpose for me. And I want to fulfill that plan and that purpose. That He loved me so much that even before I was born, He had a plan. Even before the world was created, He had a plan. If that's you and you want to make Jesus number one and you want to be back on track with the Father today, if that's you, I want you to slip up your hand real quick. If that's you, you want to make sure that everything is right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You want to make sure that you and God are tight. Hallelujah. I see those hands. Thank you, guys. And if you're watching online, please let us know. We're going to pray a general prayer. And I want everyone to repeat after me. We'll repeat it together. And today we're going to rededicate our lives to God. And make sure we're hooked up. So everybody within the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord, today I choose You to be my Lord and Savior. I want to hear You. I am listening. I'm going to read Your Word. I'm going to listen to the voice on the inside. Because today, I choose You as my Lord and Savior. To direct me, to lead me. I want to fulfill the plans and the purposes that You have for my life. I want to be in that kingdom. I want to be in the body of Christ. I want to be a part of the church. And I want You as my Heavenly Father. I commit myself to You today, 100%, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Come on, let's just give Him the glory, the praise in this place. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please let one of us know. But come on, let's just thank Him for being so good. Let's just thank Him for His blessings, for His plans, His purposes, His directions that He has for each and every one of us. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, You're so good. We thank You, Jesus. Come on, let's just lift up our voice of praise to Him. 30 more seconds. Come on. Make some noise all across this place. Just thank Him for being so good, that He loves us, that He has plans for us. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank You that we have a church full of people that are going forward with their purpose, their plans, their pursuits for You, Lord. That, Father, Thunder Bay will be changed because of their obedience. Father, I thank You that more and more people will be impacted. Lord, I thank You that this church is growing because of people's obedience to follow You, Lord. Father, I thank You more programs. Father, I thank You for more things that are taking place here at this church. Father, we thank You for increase. Increase in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank You for all these things. You're such a good, good God. And Lord, I thank You for letting us listen to You and for speaking to us. Lord, we're going to listen better. We're going to follow stronger. And we're going to do what You've called us to do. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted. Amen, amen, amen. Well, guys, hopefully you got something out of that this morning. Y'all are awesome. Remember, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Don't think anything less, because you belong to God. Come on now. So go do something awesome in Jesus' name. Amen? God bless y'all. Have a wonderful morning. Don't forget all of our first-time guests. You're here. We want to meet you. So if this is your first time here at Faith City Church, see an usher. We want to meet you down in the fellowship hall. Come down for some dainties. And I'm going to find me a Boston cream donut somewhere. Amen. God bless.